We're going to continue with the thoughts that we've had in the first time together this morning. Certainly we want to remember about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was the main purpose of us coming together today. But we have an opportunity to be able to spend some time together, building each other up through song and prayer and reading of God's Word. And as we have done that this morning, I hope that you had time. I know that sometimes that goes very fast, and I know that some I put down more than others because some didn't know some of the songs, and I appreciate those that did lead us in those and did the Scripture readings and so forth. But as we looked at that passage of Scripture earlier, we talked about from John 21. We'll put it on the board in just a moment. But as we think about this, it takes a lot of faith to follow someone, to follow them without question, to just do whatever they say that we need to do, and to go after them. We have to put our total trust in that person. Now, to truly follow Jesus, we have to have absolute confidence in Him. Today, just for a brief moment, I want to do some comparing between what I believe is probably one of the greatest earthly governments that's ever been on the face of this earth, plus our spiritual government. And I want to make a sharp contrast actually between the two. When this government was formed, it was one of those things where people decided that they wanted to set up something, a constitution that was a living document that would be kept. It was not to be changed. And it was based on the fact that we are endowed with our Creator with some gifts, and that with that we could pursue some things in life, and we had that opportunity. So there, when they based a lot of that certainly on God's Word. They looked at God's Word, and there were some things there that they especially appreciated, and they wanted to bring that into the Constitution. And they wanted it to be very fair and across the board. Now, has it always been that way? Absolutely not. That Constitution hasn't been followed on many, many occasions, and we could talk about that. But that just shows that human beings have a hard time following things that they need to follow. If that's what it's based upon, then that's what we need to follow. We used this passage earlier, and I just want to remind us again that He's getting ready to leave this earth. And He tells Peter there's some things that are, even Peter, as much as he loved him, it's none of your business. Absolutely none of your business. You just follow me. That some things are kept to him. Now, our government has that constitution. It's to regulate the government. Regardless of what laws are made, it has to be based on that constitution. Hasn't always been true. You can easily see that. But that's what it was supposed to do. This government's made up of three branches. We all are aware of this: the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch. Each one of those has its own special, as we'll talk about, thing to do. But what happens when we get away from the Constitution? Well, once you get away from it, it fails. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, once you say a certain part of it isn't valid, then you can take out another part of it. And it's just left to the whim of people to decide what they want to do. Now let's talk about think about that with our spiritual kingdom. Many times the U.S. government exempts itself from laws. I looked this up to make sure that these are correct, because there's things out there you'll see that they haven't exempted themselves from certain things that have been told. But they do tend to exempt themselves, sometimes temporarily, sometimes permanently. They make them, and then they exempt themselves from them. Or one of the other branches exempts them from them. On the other hand, how about Christ? Did He exempt Himself from the law of Moses? Did He come to this earth and say, I don't need to keep that. I'm the Son of God. I can do whatever I want to. Well, no, He set that law up. He knew that it was a good law. He knew that within it, people could follow God if they chose to do so. He was God in the flesh. But now let's turn back, or turn over to 1 Peter 2. And we find, and we read this many times, but I want us to pay special attention to the fact that we're not just following anyone. We're not following some religious leader that has not always lived their lives the way they should. And there's many of them out there, today and in the past. But not him. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. In what way? Well, who committed no sin? You need to be that way. Really, I mean, I've never been that way. But that's what He wants us to be. That's the mark. Nor was guile found in His mouth. He not only didn't sin, He didn't even speak anything wrong. He never spoke a word that wasn't perfect at that moment. Have you ever thought about that? Wasn't any mistakes in His words. He spoke them perfectly. You ever done that? I need to. That's my example. When He was reviled, did not revile in return. Have I ever been guilty of that? When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Think about what Roger said earlier. He not only knew the names of those men that had smote Him, He knew all about their background. He knew where they came from. He knew their DNA. There was nothing about them He didn't know. And they're mocking Him? Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. That's why when I do speak like I should, that's why when I do sin, I have Him that can take care of my sins. So who's it easier to follow? A being like that? Perfect in every way? Or the U.S. government? The executive branch is supposed to enforce and uphold laws. I'm keeping this very simple, obviously, but they show partiality. Executive branch shows partiality. I'm not talking about just this executive branch we have right now, not just this president. It's happened throughout. They shouldn't, because the Constitution says you can't do that. The Constitution says that everyone has an equal right across the board. It hasn't always been that way. Some presidents have said, well, certain people don't have the rights of other people. But that's not what that says. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bed, a man will transgress. Well, I guess they will, won't they? Whatever they can receive from it, they'll transgress. So they will show partiality. They won't enforce certain laws. They'll change them around and they'll say, I don't like that law. We've seen it again, not just with this president, but a few past presidents. I'm not even picking on anyone in particular. I'm just telling you the executive branch has not followed the Constitution. They're very political in what they do. It's whatever the moment says, whichever the way the wind's blowing at the moment, they make decisions on that. They instruct certain parts of the government not to do certain things, or they go further than they're supposed to. We've seen that recently in many of those branches that the executive branch is over, or many of those parts of it that the executive branch is over. They do what they want to do. You give them power, they do what they want to do. The funny thing is, this is just a temporary thing. Each executive is just there temporarily. They're not really truly in charge. I hate to tell them that, but God is. But how about Christ? Well, there's no partiality with Him. As Peter said, God is not a respecter of persons, but he that fears God and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. There is no partiality with God. There is no partiality with Jesus. He does not like one person over another just because He likes them. He will never be that way. There's not one race of people He likes better than another race of people. There's not one gender that He likes better than the other gender. Through Him, we all have salvation. We have different responsibilities, but we have salvation. And in Romans 2, verse 11, there is, blanket statement, no partiality of God. Well, but wait, didn't He treat certain people? No, on the basis of them. He's always been that way. He enforces all the laws. Oh, there's not a law that He says, well, you know what? I know that Abe Martin, and I, you know what? I just happen to love him. I know he's broken. I don't know how many laws. No, He enforces it. In Isaiah 42:4, He will not fail nor be discouraged till He has established justice in the earth. It is His intent that justice is done, regardless of the person. He's never shown it, and He never will. Well, isn't Christ the same? Look at Matthew 23. One of the hardest lessons you'll ever hear taught. 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Is He saying to them, I'm going to overlook that? No, I'm not. You can do it all. You want to say you do what Moses says? Do it all. James 2:10, whoever keeps the whole law yet offends in one point is guilty of all. whoever says, I keep the Constitution and yet offends in one point, is guilty of all. You see, there is no difference in this. It's all or nothing. If you ever start down that slippery slope of taking something out, then take it all out. Jesus, he was not political at all. He doesn't go with the way the wind goes. With the Pharisees, he said in 23:26, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside may be clean. And read through that. Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, back in the chapter before that. What about them? Did he let them trick him into things? Well, we could go to Matthew 19, but let's go to Matthew 22. Here they ask him this question. They think you've got it. Couldn't be a resurrection because after all, this man died, leaving no children. His brother had to marry the wife according to the law, raise up offspring. Now there were seven brothers. So, okay, we got you, Christ. If there's a resurrection, which one's her husband? He said, well, you don't even understand, do you? You don't understand that in heaven there's the angels, there's no marrying or giving in marriage. That's not important in heaven. You're talking about something different between the physical and the spiritual. He said, so you don't even understand that. But he said, let's talk about the resurrection. Let's go back and look at a passage of Scripture and let's see how clearly you're thinking. When God said, after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, He said, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I am. Well, God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. There's proof there that they're still alive. So why would you come to that conclusion that there's no resurrection if that's true? You either are going to have to say God lied or you're lying. You see, He didn't sway with them. He never let them sway Him on anything that was taught. The Herodians, a group of people who followed after Herod to some degree and believed in the earthly kingdom. These folks, they had this great idea and they brought to Him and they said, Teacher, we know that you're true and teach the way of God and truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Isn't that interesting that they knew this man could not be swayed? They knew this man was not political. They knew he wasn't partial. They knew he would tell the truth. So they said, but we got you on something. Okay, so do we pay taxes or not? He said, well, give me a coin. They gave him one. He said, whose picture's on there? Well, they said Caesar's. He said, okay, you got your answer. You render unto Caesar the things of Caesar, and you render unto God the things that are God's. Those are physical things that don't amount to anything. That's all passing away, but you better render to God what He's due. When they heard it, they marveled and left Him. His kingdom, not temporary. It's permanent. In Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. He's president forever. He is executive forever. He is over every president that's ever been in the face of this country or in this country. In Matthew 28:18, all power has been given to me. When we start talking about things and we decide we're going to do certain things, we better think about that. But how about the legislative branch? Well, they make laws. But you know what? They have the lobbyists up there and those lobbyists say, hey, if you'll change this for us, we'll help you out a little bit. Well, that would never happen, would it? I mean, the Constitution says you can't do that. Well, they have special interests, you know. And so these people come along and they say, well, can you change this because we don't like how this is going? Well, they take from others and give to others who aren't deserving of it. They take all the time under the guise of, well, these other folks need it. Let's evenly distribute this. And they're continually changing laws. You ever notice that? And then when they get a law, they have to write pages and pages and pages to satisfy that law. You can't write that it's illegal to speed. So many, many pages later, you're describing why it's illegal to go over 35 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone. Amazing, isn't it? How dumb are we? Think about the Word of God. I won't guarantee this, but I'll almost guarantee there's never been too many laws that the U.S. government's written that is concise as this and as permanent as this. And with as few pages as this. And this will guide us to heaven. How about Christ? I'm no lobbyist. You can lobby them all you want to. In Matthew 7, there's going to be many who will say, well, Lord, he said, but that's not going to happen. Just because you call me Lord, but you haven't done the will of my Father. You need to know what that is. And many will say to me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out demons, and thy name done many wonderful works? Couldn't we buy ourselves off here a little bit? Didn't we do some good things to earn it? No. Because they weren't doing what God said. They were doing what they wanted to do. They had no book, chapter, and verse for what they did, but they decided, we're going to do it this way. And then I will say unto them, depart from me. He basically says, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. You are lawless. You have no law for what you're doing. No special interest. Look at verse 24. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. There's no special interest. There's no one can come to him and say, well, wait, I'm kind of special here. Wouldn't you change things for me? No. No. You have to do my will. All of it? Absolutely. And he likens that to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. But the one that won't do his will, he likens to a person who builds on the sand. What are we building on? The rock or the sand? He will not take it from some to give it to those who do not deserve it. He won't take it from us. You see, with him, he wants us to be special. And what he says is, he that won't work, neither shall he eat. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10. But he does say, if you'll freely give to help others, that's the way it should be. You need to do this just like I did. I came to this earth and freely gave of myself. Why would you not open that billfold and open that purse and give? Why wouldn't you understand in 1 Corinthians 16 that when this special occasion there was needy saints, but there are multiple reasons for us to take up the collection. There are multiple good reasons for us to do that. And we have that in 1 Corinthians 16. The day to do it and how it should be done. As we've been prospered. But he doesn't come take it out of my billfold. He doesn't send me something to say, Abe, you give this percentage. Abe, you do this. He says, I want you to do it willingly. Acts 5, 3 through 4, where you have Ananias and Sapphira. And when Ananias was there, he'd sold the land. And he came and he said, we know from inference, he had told them, this is everything we got from that land. But you know what Peter said to him? When you had it, wasn't your own? You could have done anything you wanted to it. God didn't take that away from you. It was your choice. So why lie about it? And why do we lie to ourselves thinking that we're way overdoing that? We've made plans here. And one of the things we need to remind ourselves of, I'm not going to leave this world with it. The decision's ours. How are we going to use it? And he has a completely unchanging law. It's not changed from day to day. There's no one on earth. This local congregation doesn't have the right to change anything. Neither does any other religious organization out there. You ever notice that how people are swayed with the times and they change the laws? They'll say, oh, wait, you know, there was a time when homosexuality was wrong, but now it's okay. There was a time when adultery was wrong, but you know what? It's okay. There was a time when lying was wrong, but hey, let's change that. It's okay. Under certain circumstances. There was a time when stealing was wrong, but you know what? People need things. And no, stealing will damn your soul forever. That's what Jesus said. You want to follow him? Then keep that. Hebrews 8, he quotes from Jeremiah 31, and he talks about this new law that Jeremiah had prophesied about. And this new law is wonderful. It is much better. It is so much greater. Why did he change it? He said, well, he found fault with them. Why did he find fault with them? Well, they wouldn't keep it. It had no way of forgiving their sins completely. They would be remembered again every year. But he says, when I make this new one, everyone in verse 11 is going to know it. From the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Isn't that the one you want to live under? A law that won't change? In Jude 3, verse 3, he says that contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered. Contend for it. You don't let people back you down on it. You prove it. And in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, he said it is an everlasting law. There will be no changes to it. It will never change. It is unchangeable. How about the judicial end of it? How about the judging of all of this? Well, they're supposed to interpret laws and make right judgments. But we can clearly see sometimes, and have in the past, they've been swayed by public opinion. How do we know that? Because they violated the Constitution. They've even made laws when they're not supposed to do that. That's supposed to be left up to the legislative branch. The judicial branch of this is still one of the greatest, again, countries that you'll ever live in. But they're human beings. They're human beings that can be swayed. Lots of times they base their own case law, not the Constitution. In other words, get this. So things change and somebody along the line made a decision. And so instead of going back to the Constitution and see if that's okay, they base it on those decisions that were made off of that decision that was made off of that decision that was made off of those decisions. That's what they do. And they're sometimes swayed by personal views. They go in there with a personal view of things. They know what they want, and as soon as they get that opportunity, they change it. They do not go to the law based on it. And guess what? Every time a person's appointed and it changes the distribution of the court, you ever notice how things change? How could that be if you're all basing it on the same thing? How about our judge? Jesus. Not swayed by public opinion. He did not care what Satan said. He said, man shall live by bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He did not let him persuade him, even though he's hungry at the moment. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not changing. His judgment was correct. In Matthew 15, when he talked to them, he would not be swayed. He let them know that their judgment was going to be just, that what they had done was they would not keep God's traditions that He set in place, but they would keep man's. And He said, when they said to Him, well, your disciples don't wash their hands. He was like, there's nothing the law says they have to wash their hands before they eat. But He said, let me point something out to you. You transgress it because you say, I'm not going to obey those commands of honor thy father and mother. What you do, you pay a certain amount to the temple and you say, I've done it. That's it. I'm not taking care of this anymore. He said, you're like a bunch of people that Isaiah talked about. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching His doctrine the commandments of men. His judgment will be based on His law. There's one thing I'm not concerned about. As my dad used to say, boy, it's a scary thing. You know, you go to school, and or maybe you're homeschooled, and you think, wow, the test is going to be on math. And you get in there, and it's not. It's on English. And you've been studying math this whole time. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'd start sweating. I'd be thinking, because I did a lot of that, you know, last-minute stuff, and I would really be sweating. Don't have to worry about that. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, how's Christ going to know what's good or bad? Well, he's going to base it on his law. His law tells us what's good and bad. In Revelation 20, it's going to be fair. We won't be judged under Mosaic law, and people under Mosaic law that were under Mosaic law will not be judged under Christ's law. It's wonderful, isn't it? The patriarchs, Abraham, will not be judged under Mosaic law. He will not be judged under Christ's law, the new law. He will be judged under the law God gave him. And he talks about that, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, showing there are things we need to do if we expect to receive His grace. And again in verse 13, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And you know the ones that didn't do it? They were cast into hell. He wasn't swayed by anything personal. I could have used a lot of things on this. When Peter tried to sway him on some things, when he was talking about his death, and Peter said, no, let it not be, Lord. But in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, not if I happen to like you, my judgment's going to be based on if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments. He would not change anything on the basis that while he was on earth, he kept his Father's, and he said, I expect the same of you. When I leave here, you keep mine. And Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There will be no changing. There's not going to be multiple judges. There's not going to be a judge die and another one come into place. When He died on the cross, He became our permanent judge when He was resurrected from the dead. In 1 John 1, that one that we talk about, that Roger talked about from John 1, He was the eternal life. He was the Word of life, according to John 1, 1 and 2. So when we say follow Jesus, I want to go back to a couple passages of Scripture, and I want to point these out really well. So many people are so swayed. And they think if it's a big crowd, and if there's lots of people, then it must be correct. But yet, He warns them, all the way back, Moses did, do not follow a crowd to do evil. You better make sure, I don't care what the size of the crowd is, small or large, that they're practicing the things that God wants us to practice. Well, how about the idea of, well, you know, I feel pretty good about this. I think that this is okay. Nick read this earlier, but I want to go over it again. I want to emphasize this one to every one of us. Someone said this, I think his own, I forget, Wednesday night or maybe another night or another day. And they said they had tried to change their language and not say anymore, well, I believe without telling where it is in the Bible. We need to say, this is what the Bible says, thus I believe. And let me show you what it says. Ezekiel 13. This is God's chosen people. Not just God's chosen people. These are prophets that God set up to prophesy to the people. Not just anyone, but ones that the Word of God was brought to. Let me tell you how scared you should be. If you follow me, you better make sure it's in there. And you better be able to prove it. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy, out of their own heart. But my preacher, my so-and-so, my leader says, tell you what, folks, follow Jesus. They say, this is what they said, hear the word of the Lord. They sounded sincere and honest, didn't they? They sounded like, wow, good people. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit. But I feel good about what I'm doing. I'll tell you what. You better feel good, and I better feel good, only if I have book, chapter, and verse for it. Who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, and this is what they said, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. They, wouldn't you trust these people? God sent them. Better not. Because it violated what God had said. But the Lord has not sent them. And yet they hope that the Word will be confirmed. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go into God's Word and I'm going to pick and choose and I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know what? I just hope it'll be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision? Have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Don't you dare invoke my name, God says. I did not do that. Because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I'm indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Follow Jesus. Proved His love for us. He is the perfect example, the only one. Name another religious leader that you can point to, regardless of what books they wrote or what religion they follow. You'll not find anyone like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the perfect executive or president. He's the perfect legislator. He is the perfect judge. And I'm thankful for that. I don't have to concern myself with Him being swayed when time passes. No other religious leader, true or false. And I say that because there's false ones in the Bible and there's true ones in the Bible. You can take all of them. is worthy of following except Jesus. None of them. As great a man as Paul was, you know what he said? Follow me, follow me as I follow Christ, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. Moses, as great as he was not perfect, and never sacrificed his life for anyone's salvation. Never. Matter of fact, when his life was taken from him, it was because of his sin, not because he was giving it up for someone else. If we consider men and women who people follow today, we can clearly see they're not sinless people, but sinners. I'm a sinner, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Only follow me as I'm following Christ. We see religions changing their rules and laws, but we never see that with Jesus' law. Never. His law has stood for almost 2,000 years, and it's just as true today. Why not obey our Savior? He died for our sins. He asked you to believe, repent, confess Him, and be baptized. Are you willing to do that? To remain a Christian, we must remain Christ-like. Are we still doing that? Are we still obeying Him? We're going to stand and sing a song. If anyone would like to do anything about their soul salvation, we sure would be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?